Passion, freedom, knowledge. The Abstract Japan Podcast at abstractjapan.com.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Egg proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to episode 267 of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, Dr. Kevin Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. So, the other day, my girlfriend and I, we went and checked out the Claude Monet exhibit at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. And before you ask, yeah, I do like classy stuff. Deal with it. We had a wonderful time. The exhibit was great. And we look forward to going to the MFA again in the near future. Now, here's the weird thing. The very next day, my entire body just felt completely exhausted. Like, even at my regular job, I was having such a hard time staying awake and such, even though I had a good night's sleep the previous evening. It's led me to believe that my body is no longer used to going out and having an active social life, like the kind I had before COVID. Because there have been no conventions and so many safety precautions, and the majority of things that I like to do being closed, it's left my body feeling slightly lethargic. And it's not something that I would notice, as I do my best to keep myself busy during these times. So when my girlfriend and I went out for the first time in over 4 months, and doing a museum for the first time in roughly 6 months, my body needed to push out as much energy and endorphins than it had been used to during this year in lockdown. So what that means is that when things fully open again and the like, I'm going to have to hit the ground running and recapture that pre-COVID strength that I had. I need to be in, like, PAX East mode for, like, a month or two in order to get my body back to the energetic stuff that it once was. And odds are, all of you listeners who have been dealing with all this stuff, you're all going to have to do the same. It's one thing to stay in shape. It is another to have the energy to go out and do things. And I love doing things. Anyway, that was just a little thing that was on my mind today. On today's episode of No Borders, No Race, The Muppet Show returns on Disney Plus, showcasing why this is the kind of program we all desperately need. Plus, I share my thoughts on why consoles need to start welcoming adults-only titles onto their platforms. And on this week's A Bastard Soapbox, a big screen adaptation of an anime franchise loved by kids gets a not-so-kid-friendly rating. But first, let's begin this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find their music on CD Japan, Amazon, Yes Asia, Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start off the program with a brand new track from Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra. Their newest album, Ska Almighty, or is that Ska Equals Almighty, features a plethora of covers of famous tokusatsu series like Kamen Rider and Ultraman. Here's a new song that's appropriate for the new season, entitled A Touch of Spring. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ITHINKTHISISGREAT.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I Think This Is Great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think your business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Windows backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
Classic from the Blue Hearts, that was Tabajito from their album Stick Out, which would be the second to last album they released before calling it quits in 1995. The world needs the Muppets. I feel like when the world is in its worst state, nothing brings people's positivity back quite like Kermit, Miss Piggy, Fuzzy Bear, and the rest of the Muppet Gang. And with Disney Plus releasing The Muppet Show in its near entirety, save for two episodes due to copyright reasons, it's easy to see why Jim Henson was truly a gift for this world. Now, Jim showed that he could be the creative type with works like The Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, and The Storyteller. But when you needed a huge laugh and something to fill you with joy, The Muppet Show was simply perfection. Sure, Fraggle Rock had many great moments, but you cannot compare the wholesome fun of the Fraggles with the chaotic fun of The Muppet Show. And with Disney Plus now the home to nearly every episode, some of which I've personally never even seen before, it's easy to see why our generation needs another Muppet Show in their life. I get that Disney has a new Muppet Show in the form of Muppets Now, and Muppets Now is, well, it's not the Muppet Show. It attempts to be a modern Muppet Show, but it's not at all set up like one. It's more like one of those episodes of The Amazing World of Gumball, where he and Darwin spend the entire episode looking at random funny shit on the internet. And the Muppet Show was a show. One that was set up like a live variety program on stage, with guest stars, behind-the-scenes antics, and a big helping of unpredictability. Say what you will about the Muppet sitcom on ABC from a while back. It took a few episodes, but nearly got close to that formula that made the original show really good. It wasn't perfect, but it had some great moments. I reckon that Disney must be seeing that these Muppet Show reruns are making blockbuster numbers, even as new programs from Marvel's realm have been gaining almost everyone's attention. And while it'd be tough to recreate the magic of the original Muppet Show, it's not out of the realm of possibility. What made The Muppet Show amazing, as well as its 90s follow-up Muppets Tonight, which is still unavailable, what made it amazing was that it was a big old ball of chaos wrapped in love. It has to be left unhinged with an anything-goes sort of attitude that made the Muppets not just beloved by kids, but everyone. And that is the key point. The Muppets weren't made to make kids laugh. They were made to make everyone laugh. Even when you watch very old episodes of Sesame Street, they threw so much humor at the likes of Oscar the Grouch and Cookie Monster and Bert and Ernie that made more adults laugh than kids. A new Muppet Show needs to do just that. Make it for adults while keeping it clean enough for younger people to watch. Not to mention, they need to get some heavy-hitting guests. Now, what made The Muppet Show great was that there were guests of many levels of caliber on each episode. You had legends like Bob Hope and Vincent Price. Blondie's Debbie Harry and Raquel Welch got to showcase some sex appeal in their spots. You had hitmakers like Elton John and Loretta Lynn in an element of theirs that they didn't even know they had until they were surrounded by these characters. They also took risks and had people like Alice Cooper and Johnny Cash showing up to show that they could have fun with Jim Henson's creations. If a genuine modern-day Muppet Show can be made, then they need to grab guests that'll make people turn their heads. You can have your family-friendly rock stars like Brandon Flowers of The Killers or actors like Dwayne Johnson, but then you take some risks with artists like country singer Orville Peck and hip-hop and R&B singer Lizzo. And if you want to recreate the dark magic of the Alice Cooper Show, you get Tobias Forge under the guise of Ghost Papa Emeritus IV, which would be a fucking hilarious if they did it right. The Muppet Show is a classic, and Disney needs to treat these characters with the same amount of love that Jim Henson, Frank Oz, Richard Hunt, and the rest of the Muppeteers did. With Muppets Now, it's clear that they need to keep rewatching the original show until true inspiration hits them like a flying zucchini brother. Here's hoping that Disney is paying attention to those streaming numbers, as it's likely that the Muppets will be given the proper chance to shine again on a big red curtain stage and a lively orchestra lying below in the pit. A new Muppet Show can be done. It just needs some of that old magic that made it one of the greatest shows ever made. And one guy who could be a great guest is someone who was on the Muppet sitcom a couple of years back. Dave Grohl! His band Foo Fighters are back with a new album called Medicine at Midnight, which is honestly their strongest release since Wasted Light came out 10 years ago. This is a track from that record called Cloud Spotter.
Rogers Show coming to you live from Tokyo, Japan, a year-end special, and I'll be with my good friend, Evan Borgald, and you can tune into the Mike Rogers Show. We play Japanese music, Japanese pop, Japanese, and you can win a bazillion dollars on this show. I don't know how you can, but maybe, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you can somehow, maybe buy a raffle ticket or something. The Mike Rogers Show, yes, tune in. We're going to have our year-end top five countdown. It's going to be way cool, and you can hear more good songs just like this. We'll be right back.
Bleach 3 with Tayo from their 2003 self-titled album. The record would get a U.S. release 2 years later, during the time when they were South by Southwest mainstays. Sadly, the trio would call it quits in 2009. So, as you may have seen on the B3 website, the Nintendo Switch has a game with an adults-only rating on it, Waifu Uncovered. It's pretty good as a bullet hell title, whereas the visuals that make it an adult game, you know, it's better than a good chunk of DeviantArt pieces I've seen. You can get the adults-only version directly from East Asia Soft, which will send you the European PEGI 18 version that has the uncut stuff on there. It's also on Amazon and various other sites, so it's really not hard to find this version of Waifu Uncovered. But this has led me to think of the adults-only rating here in the US. If your game gets slapped with that AO rating, it's practically a death sentence, as physical stores will refuse to sell it on there. As such, you'll only tend to see games with the AO rating on PC and Mac, in stores like Steam and the Epic Game Store and GOG, because people can simply download the games from these online stores and not buy them physically. The companies don't have to have an issue with selling them since it doesn't go against the physical store mandate. So, here's the thing. Nintendo has the eShop. Sony has the PlayStation Store. Microsoft's Xbox has the Marketplace. All of them digital outlets, which lets anyone buy any game released for that console, all without having to go to a store and buying a physical copy. Shouldn't then consoles be following the same rules that Steam and Epic Games Store are doing when it comes to having games with adults-only ratings? I get that there are some guidelines that may need to be followed when it comes to having adult content in the eShop or PlayStation Store or Marketplace, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. You can easily use age gates to keep kids away from adult content. Hell, I think they even already do that for M-rated titles. If one Switch account or PlayStation username or Xbox gamer tag could tie in someone's date of birth, with there being no option to change it to stop younger folks from getting their hands on adult titles, then these online stores could easily open their gates and allow AO-rated titles onto their platform. Hell, they've gotten close to that with games like Moero Crystal Age and Senran Kagura Reflections. One of the big reasons I say this is because at the end of this month, there's a much talked about game coming onto Steam. Subverse, from Studio FOW, the company that makes CGI porn parodies of popular video game characters. And if you saw the trailer for Subverse that was released a couple of weeks ago, you'll understand just how amazing of a video game this is going to be. It looks better than the last couple of XCOM titles, with a little bit more Mass Effect flavor added to it. And if I were a betting man, I would think that the likes of Xbox, Nintendo, and even those damn Puritans at Sony are looking at Subverse and going, "Oh shit, I kinda want that." But knowing Studio FOW, or is it Studio Foe? One of you, somebody, please correct me regarding that. They ain't gonna take content out just so it can get a console release. Which is why their means of standing their ground to bring the best damn game possible to their demographic could start some changes. If Subverse sells mad crazy on Steam, then the console realm are going to want a piece of that pie. But if they want to grab a plate, they're going to need to tear down the walls of adults-only game censorship. Now, mind you, this is the best-case scenario for such a thing to happen. Probably won't happen. Consider it wishful thinking at this point. But maybe sometime soon, something is going to have to change regarding console game censorship. Titles like Subverse or Succubus, or even visual novels like Nekopara or any Sekai Project title should have a place on a console. I do believe that there should be steps to keep these games out of the hands of kids and the like, but I also believe that they shouldn't be banned outright. Just make some tight age gates, and Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft should have no problem whatsoever selling games with an adults-only rating on it. Here's hoping they lean towards that direction in the near future. Because, again, Subverse looks fucking amazing, and I'm really happy that I donated to the Kickstarter for that. By the way, for those of you wondering, no, this isn't my bastard soapbox segment. You can tell because I didn't play the Gintama Eyecatch thing. That's coming up shortly, and it does relate a bit towards a certain rating system. But for now, let's play some more music. We got a brand new single from King New, who used to go under the name Servici until up to 2017. This new song is called Abuku.
There's no food like theme park food. Eat the Magic is a YouTube series about theme park food in Southern California and maybe Florida. Eat the Magic is hosted by a childless millennial of real repute, Jared the Greek. Karens want him. Chaz wants to be him. No bothers given. Tune into our show, Eat the Magic, on YouTube. See our Thirst for Dole Whip on Instagram at Eat the Magic. We'll see you real soon at the parks. Why? Because we like you.
Of Mashhad, Iran, that was Out of Nowhere with their latest single, Black Crow. And while there is a metal scene in Iran, it's not exactly legal over there. As such, Out of Nowhere find many ways to play live shows here and there and getting the fuck out of Dodge before the cops come around. So far, they've done a damn good job evading the popo, and I hope one day heavy metal can be appreciated in Iran without the fear of oppression hanging over everyone's heads. And now for something a bit more lighter, as Hikaru Utada is back with a new single to coincide the release of the final rebuild of Evangelion movie. Here's the beautiful One Last Kiss.
Can you give me one last kiss? 忘れたくないこと 私の心のプロジェクター、寂しくないふりしてた。まあそんなのお互い様か。誰かを求めることはすなわち傷つくことだった。
Growing community focused on diversity, inclusion, representation, conversation, and fun on Twitch. Wanna be fam?
For chill community vibes, Wednesday nights at 7, join BC Row for the Wednesday wind down.
Friday nights, join us for Let's Plays, where we explore narrative and single player campaign games. Stop by on Fridays at 7. Catch our flagship podcast, The Tribunal, live every other Sunday at 3 p.m. when we talk about issues that are important to us as Black women.
Issues like representation, inclusion, diversity, and more within the video games and entertainment industries. Check our channel and social handles to find out when a new Tribunal's gonna drop.
We've got even more content on our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter handles, and our website, blackandpat.com.
So join in the conversation in whatever way you like at Black and Pat. Remember, always and,
never or.
All times are Eastern.
Yeah.
Black Revenge, that was the Cherry Cokes with Ford Again. The band will be wrapping up their Old Fox tour on May 3rd at the Ebisu Liquid Room. And odds are, they'll take a quick break before hitting the studio once more. And now, folks, it's time for me to get some things off of my chest in another edition of A Bastard Soapbox. One of the biggest film releases of 2020 was the Demon Slayer movie, Mugen Train, which completely destroyed every box office record held in Japan. For a while, a lot of us here on the Western Front have been waiting for news of this movie's release in the US. Well, after a bit of teasing here and there, Aniplex and Funimation both revealed that Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Mugen Train, would be coming to theaters on April 23rd. So far, nothing but happy news here in this soapbox. Just one slight little question. Why the fuck does it have an R rating slapped onto it? Okay, I get that Demon Slayer is a pretty action-packed show, with blood, beheadings, and limb severings, and other stuff. But it's geared towards those who read Weekly Shonen Jump, which means it has a very huge following with young kids and the like. Hell, the show ends with the weekly Taisho Secrets, in a format that's more appealing to children than it is to its teen and adult audiences. The movie is no different than its TV and manga counterparts, filled with violence and the like, and Japan is rated PG-12, which means children under 12 must be supervised with their parents to go see it. By that logic, Demon Slayer Mugen Train should be rated PG-13 here, and to me, that's a much more appropriate rating to give, as it was the same that Princess Mononoke had, which also had beheadings and limb dismemberments and lots of violence. But no. The Motion Picture Association of America, whose rating system has been broken since the Reagan era, have slapped the Demon Slayer movie with an R rating. Which is fucking stupid. A PG-13 would have been fine, as it's definitely the kind of franchise that younger people should watch with parent supervision and the like. And the crazy thing about the rating is that animated violence is the only reason why it was given an R rating. There's nothing about language, adult situations, tobacco usage, sex, nudity. It's only for violence, which I can bet is a lot less than the PG-13 rated Avengers Endgame, which also had beheadings, limb dismemberments, violence, and blood, not to mention various other things that made it PG-13. And that was a live-action movie. It wasn't a fucking cartoon like Demon Slayer is. So you are telling me that seeing Thanos having his hand and head cut off is okay for a PG-13 crowd. But a cartoon like Demon Slayer, where it's all drawn and not shown in a realistic manner whatsoever, isn't? I will bet that films like the Marvel movie franchise, the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit trilogies, Avatar, even Alita, Battle Angel, are more violent than Demon Slayer is. And those films, all of whom are live-action movies and not cartoons, are seen as appropriate for 13 and up, with parental supervision for those aged under that. Demon Slayer is not an anime geared only to adults. People of all ages watch and read this series. Kids have Demon Slayer on their backpacks. They wear them on t-shirts. They get Demon Slayer stickers as part of a McDonald's Happy Meal prize. No joke, look that up. They buy kick-ass toys of the show that cost an arm and a leg to import from Japan. Demon Slayer isn't for grown-ups only. It's for everyone. Tanjiro and Nezuko are for the children. And this R rating slapped on its movie does a disservice to younger audiences here in the US who have been waiting a very long time for Mugen Train to come to a theater near them. I wish they can re-evaluate this film and fight for a lower rating. But Aniplex and Funimation don't have the same money as Warner Brothers or Universal Pictures. Sony may own them, but the higher-ups in Sony don't have a say in what Aniplex and Funimation do. You're not going to see the president of Sony Pictures attempt to call in the MPAA for a review on why the Demon Slayer movie was rated R and not PG-13. Sadly, Aniplex and Funimation would have to do that, and neither have the same power or clout as the bigwig studios in Hollywood. So for those of you listening who have kids who love Demon Slayer and have been waiting for this movie to come out, just take them. Ignore the R rating. Sit with them in the theater. Have a family day with the kids as you all watch Tanjiro kick loads of butt on screen. If it's considered PG-13 in Japan, then it should be considered PG-13 everywhere else around the world. I don't give a shit about stuff like cultural differences or other stupid excuses people throw at us when we argue that one thing is rated totally different from something else. The US needs to simply catch the fuck up to how things are rated in Japan and the rest of the world. Otherwise, this nation is going to be left in the dust when it comes to the sort of content they can create for younger age groups. And that, my friends, is the end of my rant. For now. You know, I've been chatting with my friends over at Wicked Anime, and we've been talking about wanting to do a debate for a future episode regarding violence and sexual content in anime, and how some of it is geared towards kids. This will happen sometime in the future, so please stay tuned. But as always, these are the opinions of myself and not anyone else under Electric Sisterhood, Wicked Anime, Nori Show, and any of the bands I played on this episode. You know, it's kind of ironic that I have to argue that this anime is for children when there are so many times when we have to argue that there are anime that isn't for children and people, you know, scoff it off just thinking that it's a cartoon. And they still think cartoons are for children. And this is a little bit ironic. All right. Let's give a spin of an artist that is truly for the children. Nick Cave. He and his songwriting partner in crime, Warren Ellis, have brought forth a surprise album in 2021, with the two of them bringing some of the darkest melodies to come out of the pandemic. The album is called Carnage, and I honestly think it's better than the previous Bad Seeds record, Ghosting. This is old time.
The wild black trees in a field of frost. Bird fly alone, you and me in the car are lost. Took a wrong turn somewhere. The end of the old time. The end of the old time for sure. Trees are blackened history. Let's drag us down to our knees. In a cold time, everyone dreams of dying. Now wherever you are, darling, I'm not that far behind. I'm not that far behind. By the side of the road, a thing with horns that steps back into the trees, and a child is born upon this trembling earth, displays each day. Thrown across the hallucination of your hair, a strip of ordinary sun, a biblical sun, a colonial sun, an enlightened sun, the same sun, made always glorious at your head. While I'm stopping at a motel and go jumping in the bed, just like the old time. However you are, darling, I'm not that far behind. We'll be right back. just like the old time. Just like old time, baby, and I'm not coming back this time. Oh, like the old days gone. Like the old days, I'm not coming back this time. Like the old days, I'm not coming back this time.
In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
何回転んだって、いざ振り向いた気分をちゃんと見るんだ。真空の血が輝いて、君は生きてると教えてる。 硬いアスファルトの上に雫になって落ちて、今までどこをどうやって歩いてきたのか教えてる。何回迷ったっていざ血の跡をたどり戻ればいいさ。 気づけば後から続いてくる可能性という名の道がいくつも伸びてるせいで、散々迷いながらどこへでも行けるんだ。大事なもんはいくつもあった。なんか全部減っちゃったけど、一つだけ ぎゅっと抱えて話すな。血が叫び教えてる。君は生きてるということだけは一体どれくらいの愛だ。助けを呼む声を無視してんだ。その背中に張り付いた鳴き声の主を探すんだ。
一つだけ、その筆で、ぎゅっと抱えて離すな。世の中に一つだけかけがえのない生きてる自分。弱い部分、強い部分、その人数の方がかけがえのない自分。誰よりも何よりも、それもまずぎゅっと強く抱きしめ。
Chicken with Diamond from 2002's Jupiter album. Last September saw the rockers collaborating with Pokemon for their new single, Acacia, which was released alongside the Crown Tundra DLC for the dual Sword and Shield games. I don't know if I pronounced that song right. Anywho, sochite ima minasan, konchi no nihongo yoyaku no jikan desu. Sa, ikoze! Disney Plus のマペットショーが戻ってきたのは素晴らしい驚きでした。しかし、私たちが21世紀にこの古典的なショーを作り直す時が来ました。マペットが主語のように近代化する必要はありません。ディズニーがジム・ヘンセンのオリジナルの元々のやり方に立ち往生しているなら、オリジナルにうまくフィットするような新しいマペットショーを作ることができるのではないでしょうか。何年もの間、音の専用の評価のビデオゲームはコントローでは強行されていませんでした。PC 上のこれらのゲームの人気が高まっているのに伴い、この態度を変える必要があります。適切な年齢制限とバーチャルチャイルド努力があれば、アドルトコンテンツを含むゲームも、検閲を恐れることなくコンソールに配置で決まるのではないでしょうか。ただし、慎重に定量する必要があります。最後に、劇場版鬼滅の刃無限列車編はアメリカでは成人用のレーティングを与えられるべきではありません。日本では PG-12 だったんだから、アメリカでは PG-13 にするべきです。ほとんどすべてのマーベル映画には暴力と死をたくさん含んでいますが、それでも子供向けとして公開されています。鬼滅の刃はアメリカに若いファンが多いのに、この R レーティングは彼らに大きな不幸をもたらします。Note to self, write shorter sentences next time. Oh my god, I thought I was going to pass out after doing those segments. Anyway, my thanks again to my teacher, Nikkyo Hattori Sensei. Remember, if you'd like to know more information on her cultural exchange initiative, be sure to visit their website at ceinitiative.org. Also, summer classes will be happening at Showa Boston, so registration will be opening shortly for that. Go to showaboston.org. That's showaboston.org for more info regarding that. Okay, with that out of the way, let's play some more music. Here's a B-side from Yo Kamiyama's latest single, Iro Kosui, which served as the opening theme to the rom-com Horemiya. This song is called Kito.
Kanashimi ga tsutsuku街明かりの影隠れてどこへでも行けるそんな気がしなくもない。いつからか一人動けない夜にも慣れて窓の外覗くあなたのこと待っている。きっとこの暮らしはいつかにつながる未来なぞってるあなたの指先。もう一度だけキラキラキラ物語が消えないようにこのまま触れる。ただ記憶の中でひらひらひら傘になって見えないよ。何一つ言えないまま朝を迎えても 続く月明かりの下歩いていつまでも響く私はここにいます。そっと張り巡らされている見えない糸はあまりにもろくてちぎれた。もう今さら立てない私と場所で生きてゆく適当に合わせただけの結び目それだけでよかったなんて思ってたんだよな。いつかまたあなたと結べるなら今度は細い糸ああこんなことなら最初から欲しがってよ。もう一度だけキラキラキラ物語が消えないようにこのまま触れる。ただ記憶の中でひらひらひら傘になって見えないよ。何一つ言えないまま。
Hi everybody, this is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Me to hide away from the fight. This sweet silence, I'm under your spell, curled up in the corner, not saved by the bell. Thrown in the towel, broken and bruised, I took off the gloves now, 'cause I'm born to lose. never could figure out why I took the wrong hands. They pulled me under and smiled as I choked and sank in the quicksand. But that's what we do, and that's why we hide. It's better to be lost on your own than found in the crowd outside. I wear this disguise, it helps me to hide away from the fight. This sweet science, I'm under your spell, curled up in the corner, not saved by the bell. Thrown in the towel, broken and bruised, I took off the gloves now, 'cause I'm born to lose. I'm stronger alone, that's what I discovered. Call out for protection, please give me cover. Was right, it's a losing game. This sweet science, a moth to a flame. We'll never make it out, we'll never make it out alive. Sweet science, I'm under your spell, curled up in the corner, not saved by the bell. Thrown in the towel, broken and bruised, I took off the gloves now, 'cause I'm born to lose. I'm stronger alone, that's what I've discovered. Call out for protection, please give me cover. Amy was right, it's a losing game.
From her latest album, How to Weigh a Whale Without a Scale, that was Liani Kaleido with the track Sweet Science. Her third album has her teaming up with guitarist and vocalist Mark Gardiner of the band Ride, whom were one of Liani's favorite bands growing up. Of course, she had plenty of musical influence growing up, as her father is Top Topham, the original lead guitarist of the band The Yardbirds. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos from the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com, like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade, and follow us on b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can follow me, Your King Baby Duck, on Twitter, the J-pop, video games, anime, amino pages, Instagram, and Twitch at King Baby Duck ESH. Don't forget to give some love to our friends at Black Compat, which you can find at blackcompat.com, twitch.tv/blackcompat, and youtube.com/blackcompat. Promotional consideration provided for this week's track from Liani Kaleido, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR, and a very special thank you to Nick Hudson for contributing to last week's Shameless Tuesdays, and a big shout out to Kabar PR for sending down the single from Out of Nowhere. We're ending the show with the latest single from Ko Shun Ye, which serves as the end theme to the hit shonen anime series Jujutsu Kaisen, and it's quite the beautiful track. This is Give It Back. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
めて同じ夢を願うほどに咲いてくよ Please give me
guys, this is your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.